Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you on this wonderful day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are very glad in it. And we want to welcome you to Words from the Word. And we have looking at today's lesson on the promise of our speaking prophetically, that we are all, we were told that we are all may prophesy. We may all prophesy. And so we want to look property of that. And before we look at our lesson, our promise 16, and we have invited a guest on the line so that we could get some in-depth information about this gift and this exercise and this promise so that we can claim it and understand it and then be partakers of the inheritance of it. And so, is our guest on the line this morning?
Yes, good morning, Overseer. How are you? This is Henderson.
I am so blessed. I apologize for the lateness of me asking, you know, but I'm glad that you accept it, so I'm going to give you the floor.
Okay. So, you want to give me some direction? But no, that's fine. Okay,
oh,
so.
one of the studies was on prophecy. It was on the prophetic voice, the voice behind the prophet. You shared with us, and you shared with us about the eight prophetic dimensions, about the names and gifts under those categories of that prophetic group, and importance of it for blessing people of God. And so it was those things, like I said, yes, but I wasn't sure I had updated all my answers from taking the test. So I didn't want to give them anything but factual information. So that is the framework that we're working, the five P's of a prophetic leader, and the reason, you know, that this, of an apostolic leader, I'm sorry, and the importance of it in claiming the power and authority that we have through the promise that God has made. Our scripture is 1 Corinthians 14:31. It says, "For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." And so if we do not understand that gifting and that promise and that part of our spiritual discipline, this that all may prophesy, then we may think we have to wait for the ambassadorial prophet to share a word from God, and that we don't have that gift, so it is not something that we can do. And that is not true, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. Yes. Okay. So we can go from there. So definitely what Overseer was sharing, part of we started this journey, I would say last year, just really beginning to open our ministry up to the prophetic realm and understanding it clearly, so that we can move prophetically as an individual and also as a church. So, for the last 12 plus years, we have really stressed as an apostolic house, and we see the power and the manifestation of that from that, from this apostolic mandate. We have seen how our ministry church has grown apostolically. We are in, you know, several locations, and so that is the evidence of us moving as an apostolic house. We have an apostolic pastor who is Apostle Seanette, who governs us and shepherds us from an apostolic view. And so when we start talking about really opening ourselves up to the prophetic, what we wanted to do was we wanted individuals to understand that prophetic ministry moves beyond just prophesying. Yes, prophecy is the affirmation and a strong component within us identifying ourselves as a prophetic people, but we don't want people to get limited to just knowing or seeing if they can prophesy one to another, or, you know, prophesy just the utterance portion of it. But we wanted people to open up themselves to a prophetic spirit. So, again, prophetic ministry moves beyond just prophesying. It's a lifestyle bringing God to man and carrying man to God. It's helping man to understand who God is and helping him to walk the way God wants him to walk. An apostolic and prophetic lifestyle is about developing a culture of sensitivity to the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's really the foundation or one of our main cores. We want a body of believers. We want, as a church, to be sensitive to the person of the Holy Spirit. It is about us being intentional and developing a life center around divine inspiration. And so it is about teaching us to position ourselves in a place where our eye gates, our ear gates, our heart gate is really open to the divine spirit of God. We often talk about that God is a prophetic spirit. And so the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives inside of us. And it is because of the Spirit of God that lives within us, we should have these divine inspirations. And whether these divine inspiration comes through utterance, which would be prophecy, or whether it comes through the revelation gifts, the uttering gifts, or the power gifts, and we'll explain that shortly, that is the heart in which we wanted us to be a Holy Spirit-driven church. We wanted to be not about purpose only, but more about a person. And so that is what a prophetic ministry, or that is what prophecy is about. And if you look at Corinthians, I believe that was also the intentions of Paul. You know, the Corinthians was a very gifted church. And so what ended up happening was they start gift struggling and trying to define which gift is better, something that we've said among upper tier level, that oftentimes it's almost like people want to graduate. You want to go from, you know, being an evangelist to an apostle. It's not about a graduation, or it's not, that's not elevation. That's not what elevation in the realm of the spirit looks like. The elevation in the realm of the spirit is all about maturation and holy obedience to the spirit of God. And so that is what prophecy or becoming a prophetic people is about. Not us graduating gifts, it's understanding that we are a gift and yielding and using that gift to the glory of the Father. So, again, just another key point, you know, if you're a note person, you want to write down that an apostolic prophetic lifestyle is about developing a culture of sensitivity to the person of the Holy Spirit. It is about you intentionally developing a life centered around divine inspiration. We want to know God's heart. We don't want to just know it on Sunday. We don't want to just know it in moments of us gathering. But our prayer should be to live every moment to the rhythm of God's heartbeat. And it is possible. Christ did it. The Bible said he had the Spirit without limits. We see others who moved in the rhythm of God's heartbeat. Noah did it. Abraham did it. And those are people biblically that we can relate to, but we also live among people. You know, your apostle did it. She moved to the rhythm of God's heartbeat. She picked up and left, and now you see the establishment of that. And so apostolic and prophetic people are not gift-driven only. They are God-chasers. They are intentional, love-struck warriors who understand that God desires more of them and they desire to give God more of them. And so that is another key point when we talk about moving into this place prophetically, when Paul talked about all can prophesy. And when we break down just the initial term of prophecy, it is about edification, it is about exhortation, and it is about inspiration. And so if we take it from that perspective, Paul is saying all can edify one another, which then is the confirmation to our ministry of one another. All can exhort and encourage one another. And you can do it from a divine place, not a complimentary place. I can always walk in and say, hey, you know, hey, you look beautiful. But I can also walk in and say, hey, God loves you. And that's from a divine place. That individual may need to know at that very moment, based on the season of their life, that God loves them. And so that is the point when we say that we're not gift-driven. We're not trying to impress each other with words, because when we talk about living a prophetic life, it's not our words. It's the words of the Holy Spirit that's coming out of us, whether it's coming through edification, whether it's coming through exhortation. You know, you can simply tell somebody, hey, I've been praying for you. They need that. Or, you know, you can tell an individual, hey, you know, don't go this way. You know, those are divine utterance. So we're not gift-driven trying to impress one another, but we are God chasers, who are intentional love-struck warriors who understand that God desires more of them, and they desire to give God more of them. One of our other foundation scriptures is out of Amos, and that says, surely the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveal it to his servants, prophets. Well, we can say, and then it says, who can then, the lion has war, who then can prophesy? So one of the things that we talked about was, yes, within the scriptural context, the foundation God was strictly talking about prophets, his mouthpiece. But then as we maturate through the power of that revelation, he's not just talking about prophet, the gift and the office. He's talking about a people who are intentional love-struck warriors, divinely yielded to the person of the Holy Spirit. So then the Lord won't do nothing unless he reveal it his servants, individuals who are sensitive, who develop a culture of sensitivity to the person of the Holy Spirit. And so that's where we wanted to, that's the foundation which we were flowing out of, that God wants to do something in the earth. He wants to use you. God may speak something through an apostle Charmaine. He may speak something through a prophet Henderson. He may speak something through overseer. But then the vision of that may be released, or the power of that may be released through you, so that you can, through divine utterance, continue to bring that vision to pass. Another thing that we talked about was that this apostolic and prophetic people, according to Amos, are yielding their whole person, mind, body, soul, and spirit, through the Spirit of God who lives within. They desire to move into the dimension of no limits and no boundaries. They understand they are not restricted by human limitations. They can move beyond physical restriction and operate daily in the realm of the supernatural because they are surrendered to God. And I'll read that again. That just sounds good to me. There are individuals who are yielding their whole person, mind, body, soul, and spirit, to the God who lives within. They desire to move into the dimension of no limits and no boundaries. They understand they are not restricted by human limitations. They can move beyond physical restriction and operate daily in the realm of the supernatural because they are surrendered to God. And that's really where we wanted to get. We wanted supernatural to not be spooky, to not be weird, but to be natural. Supernatural is just that. It is us yielding daily to the realm of God. And that's in all things. That's in you know, don't put no salt on your meat today, you know, because your sodium intake is high. It's his body. He knows, you know. So that's what we're talking about, you know. It's that go this way, take a different route, and us getting to that place of no limits, no boundaries. It's that, hey, such and so is on your heart today. Pick up the phone and give them a call or send them a text, and you do it, and they needed it. That is us living this prophetic lifestyle. That is us prophesying. A text, a word of edification, that, you know, send that, we send that phone call may be a word of exhortation, but it is you yielding to the Spirit of God. It's not you being gift-driven. It's you being God-driven. We said there are believers who desire a mature lifestyle beyond milk, with solid food of divine inspiration that will move them into a dimension of both gifting and spiritual activation, giving them a lifestyle that is guided by the instructional hand of the Holy Spirit. I'll read that again. It says that we said that there are believers who are designing a mature lifestyle beyond milk, but solid food of divine inspiration that will move them into a dimension of both gifting and spiritual activation, giving them a lifestyle that is guided by the instructional hand of the Holy Spirit. And so kind of like what Overseer did today, you know, her texting me, saying, hey, and then me yielding, saying, hey, that is, you know, the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That is the example of yielding to inspiration or prophetic lifestyle so that individuals, so that we can communicate the heart of God. And it is God, you know, positioning me so that I can be able to be on, you know, all those kinds of things. One act of holy obedience, that's what Overseer did. And so that is how we began to move into this realm. Now, I like that Paul said, that he said desire of prophecy. And when we talk about it, you know, and we can get into, we can break down the gift of it, we can break down the office of it. When he said desire of prophecy, and when we talk about it in its simplest form, which simply means to exhort and to edify from a place of divine inspiration, I believe it is the pull of the Holy Spirit, really out of a place of love. And Paul is saying desire to edify, you know, desire to exhort from a place of inspiration, desire to know God's heart for an individual. We also said living the lifestyle of the prophetic has the ability to communicate what you have seen and heard beyond your gift and giving you the ability to represent God in every dimension. So it is a lifestyle that has the ability to communicate what you have seen and heard beyond your gifts and giving you the ability to represent God in every dimension. And so I think once again, you know, just to continue to stress it, when we talk about this apostolic prophetic lifestyle, we're not focused on the gift only, we're focused on God. It is that invitation to know Him. And it all ties into what we're doing, knowing His name, knowing Him, knowing how to operate accurately within what we would consider supernatural realm. So I'll end with this and talk about, there were three things that we broke them up the gifts of. There's nine gifts. We said that there was the revelation gift, and they were discerning of spirit, words of wisdom, and words of knowledge. And honestly, what we see a lot in the church today is just that, discerning spirits, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And we often call it prophecy, but they're really words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And why we see a lot of that today is because we are prophesying from a prophet prophesies from an office place. Believers often prophesy from a gift place, which is fine, which is what we want people to take ownership of. And when they prophesy from that gift place, a lot of it will be words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirit, and exhortation and edification. Now, I'll be transparent. You know, with me, I struggle with that, a lack of understanding, because I grew up in the era where prophets was all doom and gloom. You know, you don't want a prophet around because you thought they were going to tell you about your sin. Well, and clearly people know about their sin. And so I wasn't that kind of prophet. So I didn't know if I was moving accurately. I was more of an edification, more of an exhortation. I was more of a futuristic. I was more of a, thus says the Lord, this is what God is saying about you, about his plan and purpose for your life. And so I wasn't comfortable because I didn't fit what I thought was the norm. So it wasn't until I matured, it wasn't until I became around an apostle that my office was being stirred, elevated. And then, you know, in this season, according to the apostle, God is moving to this kind of teaching realm, which is very uncomfortable for me because everybody knows me. I like to preach. So it's developing. So when I began to look at comfortable, that I am prophesying from an office realm, I am prophesying a future or God's original intent for your life. Oftentimes that's hard for people to embrace. It sounds good, but it's hard for people to embrace to walk in, because we are, most of us, a lot of times we come to the table with a plan for our lives. We come to a table for how that plan should look. And so we said there are revelation gifts, which is the Holy Spirit, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. It's your utterance gift, which is prophecy, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And it's your power gift, which are miracles, healing, and faith. And then we started breaking those things down. Any questions? Is there something else you want to address, Overseer?
Amen. I just want to, I'm so excited to be able to share with us, to bring the office, and not just the office, this promise, down to what we all are. And it's not a matter of a gift, but rather it's a matter of a relationship of developing with the Holy Spirit, who would share with us that in times past, God spoke to the earth. No, God spoke through Scripture, and Christ spoke to the earth, and the Holy Spirit speaks to man. And so to understand the different insights and revelations about that, just that word, because it has such a mystery around it, or just such a insight around it that tends to make people feel, oh, that's not me. But when you share the fact that that's those with the a discerning spirit, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, the tongue, prophetic scripture, as the gift, the grace, as well as the offer. And so there are many categories that this prophetic dimension manifests itself in the body. And that edifying, that is interesting, your analogy with the, in the beginning, of being an apostolic house. And our prophet was not in that house. He was, you were away and building church and building people. And when we came back, the prophet brings into the equation, if you will, a word that brings heaven's move to the church. And so as a result, it's a move that a lot of people don't see. They cannot see. When the prophet comes and starts to reveal it, then what happens is it the apostolic nature of the house is then allowed to flow, because the prophet and the prophet work in unison.
And so there are things that were coming that the people needed to be prepared for. And you brought back that prophetic wave in, and it also established the teaching so that when the wave got here, we would have been prepared, positioned, and postured to flow in the gift and the in the promises that God has for us. And so I appreciate the just the flow of the Lord in this house and how He has established it the way He has, in that bring to our understanding all of His promises and the fact that He says you may all prophesy, indicating, you know, through dreams and visions, you know, and prophecy, He will reveal what's coming and what we need to be prepared for. We are prepared people. You can't be prepared unless you have a prophetic and an apostolic authority governing your spiritual growth and development. And so that's a very powerful thing that the Lord has laid upon this house. And when you acknowledge the fact that, you know, like I called this morning, and that we don't jockey on gifts and that sort of thing, my heart's desire was that the people would understand their relationship with this word prophecy, and they would no longer walk in ignorance thinking that it's one person, and you look to him or her, and they'll tell you what it should be, and hallelujah, we'll be happy. No, folks, it is so much more than that. And the more we understand even our responsibility in that, the more powerful we will become, because all God's promises come with power. And so one of the other things that she has shared, and I hope I get it right, correct me if I don't, but that this relationship in this area of prophecy, you said, is it earned or is it learned? Which prophecy?
Yes.
Is it earned or is it
earned?
So we have to understand that. Yes, sir.
Oh.
But that comes in our relationship. And so my desire, this is words for the word. Yeah. But there are words that others talk about this word that will make it even more powerful than what we have. And so we pull on that. We pull on that. And, you know, the Lord said, I said, oh, I shouldn't, because I didn't ask him. So I looked up all my notes last night. And it's like, oh, I was in class. I could say what he said. The Lord said, no, you can't. You know, and it's like, well, why should you? Get the one that said it and taught it and presented it. And it's like, wow. You know, if I know it was last minute and everything, but like you say, God, it was prophetic. It was His design so that the people would be edified, that they would be empowered. They will receive the revelation that all believers can prophesy. And not only that, we should, in order to edify the body, we just need to understand what that looks like, where we are, and in the gifts that we do have, and the gifts of knowledge, gifts of wisdom, and a discerning of spirit, and all of these things being placed upon us so that the church will grow and be the power that it is to be in the earth realm. And so that discernment of spirit, and it's not, don't sit back and say, yeah, I don't think that's right. Well, it doesn't happen. It doesn't help the church if you sit back thinking and saying that, thinking but not sharing that, sharing it in a way that Holy Spirit would lead you to share, not just so that you have information about stuff, but so that that information and that knowledge is shared for the edification of those around us. And so I am so grateful that you joined us this morning and took the time and to share with us. So are there any questions from anybody else? And Prophet?
Enjoyed that class.
that refresher course.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
It's been very insightful. I said it has been very insightful to see how they work in tandem together, but also to understand the season in which it is being released in, because prophetic words are seasonal oftentimes. And so while understanding the power of the prophetic that's being released, understanding the season in which it is being released so that we can be positioned to be the manifestation of what has been said. So this has been awesome.
Amen. Thank you so much, Prophet. I probably got to go to work and stuff me off. Take your time, but we do want to give you opportunity if you have anything else to share with us.
No problem at all. No, thank you. Go ahead. Someone else wanted to say something?
No, you're it.
Okay. No, so I think that it was good for me. I'm kind of going back over some stuff that we had talked about, and even to just bring a confirmation to what Apostle had just said. We talked about how really, you know, when we began to open ourselves to the office or the gift of the prophet, what happens is the prophet is to establish God's agenda in the earth. The prophet is God's reconciliation gift to mankind to draw individuals, communities, citizens, cities, countries, and nations to God. So when we talk about the office of a prophet moving into that realm, then when we talk about, then imagine if we all just began to develop or identify ourselves as a prophetic people, we're going to begin to see the reconciliation God just didn't come to redeem the world. It could come to redeem man. He came to redeem the world. You know, Jesus said, the Bible said that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. It didn't necessarily say a person only. So people are not the only lost things. Nations are lost. Cities are lost. Communities are lost. And so when we talk about moving into that kind of prophetic realm, we have to see that we have the ministry of reconciliation. We come to seek and save that, whatever that is, which was lost. And so we begin to identify that. And we as a church, I believe we're doing that. We're moving into this seven mountain kind of mentality. So we understand that the media was lost. We understand that business is lost. We understand that religion is lost. And so when we begin to take ownership of that from a prophetic lens, from an apostolic and prophetic lens, then we know that we are declaring that there's going to be a reconciliation. God's coming back to media. God's coming back to the church. God's coming back to business. God's coming back to those mountains. And then a New Testament office prophet operates under a kingdom authority to draw the church to Christ's agenda. A prophet is to the church what an evangelist is to the world. And so when we come into, when we talk about our 2020 prophetic declaration, we begin to take those words, we look at it from that perspective. It is God using that office to draw the church back to Christ's agenda, him being the head. So the office of a prophet is also an evangelist to nations and kingdom. His role is to prepare the bride for the king. When the church is shifting, the office of a prophet is that navigation gift. He guides the church back to God's original intent and divine purpose. So it is identifying that we are all an invitation, but it's still five foolish. There's still within us a community of individuals who do not have their oil, who will when that buzz is called, would not have the oil in the lamp. And so when we begin to move into that prophetic vein, it is that evangelistic extension to the five who know the call, know he's coming, but do not have this oil. And then I think sometimes, you know, I hear overseer, or I always say overseer to me has this, you know, we talked about this street view, and there's this satellite view, and then there's this area view. And so I often see apostle and overseer as these aerial views kind of individuals, especially in the area of teaching. Overseer has this aerial view that says, hey, we need it all. You need to hear this all. And so it's always this push to connect the dots. That's because that is that satellite view of what God wants to do. And so a prophet is God's container. You know, God houses his most important things in the office of a prophet. God's intent for the office of the prophet is to will himself through his office gift to store his plan and purpose. And so when we talk about we being the office of a prophet and really teaching our house to be a prophetic people, it's because God has a mystery. You know, God's will is not secret, it's sacred. No, it's never to be kept from his people, it's to be revealed and reverenced by his people. That is what the office of the prophet does. It is how God reveals his will. And so God is not a mystery. God is not a secret, he's sacred. Is a mystery from the perspective that he wants you to be seek. He wants to be seek. He says, action shall be given, seek, and it shall be found, knock, and the door shall be open. And so that is what God does through our office of a prophet. He starts putting his secrets out there in a sacred place so that people can begin to seek it. What is your will? What is it that God wants us to do? How are we to redeem this community? How are we to draw these individuals, this city, this country, this nation back to you? Because we are part of that prophetic plan, and that prophetic plan is listed for us in Revelation, where it says the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and he shall reign forever. And so
ever.
When we begin forever, when we start talking about this prophetic overview, there was eight dimensions that we talked about, and I'll just give them to you real quick, Overseer, because I remember you talked about that, and it was us really just getting to understand them and to embrace them and to find where we operate out of. And so those eight dimensions, just the basic eight dimensions, was number one, the prophecy of Scripture. You know, God's word is prophetic. It is past, present, and future. It speaks to your past, it speaks to your present, and it speaks to your future. And so prophecy of Scripture is the baseline. It was not written by man. The Bible says that the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that's 2 Peter 1:20-21. So God's word is prophetic because the utterance came from God, written by man, but it came from God. Number two, we talked about another dimension was speaking in tongues. Well, we said, why was speaking in tongues part of under the prophetic flow? It's because, again, speaking in tongues is a divine gift. It's an inspiration gift. It is an uttering gift. It is a gift that originally was given to non-believers, not believers. And prophecy was for believers. Prophecy was the edification to believers, as tongue was the identification to non-believers. That is how they knew these people were different. That is how they knew that they were with God. They were under divine inspiration because they were moving in that utterance gift. Discerning of spirit. And I really love when we talked about that, because we moved discerning the spirits down to a more I don't want to say, just a more natural state. Even with me growing up in the church, the Holy Spirit was, you know, everyone always trying to discern something weird or spooky or discern something bad about you. But we need to go in the Spirit every day. We need it every day. We need it, but we should go down the street. You know, we need it over our children, whether to take them to this job, whether to give them something now, all of those things. So we broke discerning the Spirit down to those practical things, what to eat, what not to eat, what to wear, what not to wear, all of those kinds of things, because we want that kind of intimate relationship with God. And so, and we also know that we want to discern good and evil. You know, you got young kids, you need to discern their friends. There's something about that person, you know, it's something about that kid. And we oftentimes we operated in it. We may call it a mother's intuition. You know, we call it all kinds of things, but let's give it what it was. It was the Spirit of God that lives in us, that was giving us that kind of confirmation. Then number four was words of wisdom. Yes.
Before you go to number four, that discernment of spirit, and I love the way you said it, it's not for the spooky, but just like you were saying, for your children. That's how we are, that's how God will communicate us that child's future. That's the prophecy of discerning. He has the spirit of, I'm sure your mother said you had the spirit of prophecy on you. So she discerned that good spirit in you that was placed there by God so she could nurture it. And so when we get that discernment of the spirit on our children and on those that are our mates and on our family members, then we understand better how to edify them, how to nurture them, and how to fulfill our role to them so that they will be able to flow in the will and the move of God on their life. And so we always look at it, like you said, as negative or, ooh, I know something. But that's one of the things my prayer for with the young people, that people that work with them and work over them will discern the spirit over them, either the spirit that needs to be warred against or the spirit that needs to be edified and nurtured. And then you touch their core, and that's not just a children, but of everybody, that core thing that will make them fulfilled and cause them to grow in strength and stature and stable with God's hand, because they would have tapped into their destiny. So that discerning spirit, as you say, sometimes we move it down to the bottom and set it to the side and leave that to the people that are ooh, ooh, ooh. But that's everybody, because that's why this scripture says, you may all prophesy. Now, you may do it, but you have to learn and earn that relationship so that you'll be entrusted with that part of our inheritance. And the reason being, it says that all may learn and all will be encouraged. And so this is also a teaching mechanism. It is also a speaking and declare mechanism, because as we declare the prophetic word, the prophetic scripture, we're not being a prophet of that word, but we're being like the second level of that prophecy, because we're releasing it where we are, as the apostles say, in this season, over the situation, as Holy Spirit will give us direction. So continue, please.
Yeah, that's instinct.
Yes, instinct. Yes, ma'am.
Instinct,
all right. We want to see, yeah, it's the instinct that has been an anointing in our life. Absolutely.
Amen. You
all
know,
right.
Just a real short testimony, you know, with the journey of spirits. You know, when we lived in Toledo, you know, we took our children to Emmanuel Christian School. I was so excited about them being in Christian school, et cetera, et cetera. I just knew that that's where they needed to be. And it was my wife, Colita, that discern that someone right. And I'm like, oh, they're in Christian school. And come to find out, our children were being bullied on them. They were being, our one son was being talked about in the Christian school. And so we took them out of Christian school and put them in public school. And they have excelled. They have, you know, they haven't had issues with bullying or anything from that day on. And so I bring that up, excuse me, as a place for, you know, just as a discerning of spirit, knowing that was the Holy Spirit of God in operation through the woman of God, because that is her gift and her ministry to steward over her children, you know what I mean? And I definitely like how Overseer said it, it's the person of the Holy Spirit living inside that said, nope, this is not right, you know, and so just being open to that.
Amen.
So, number four was the word. Go ahead.
It's interesting because we have a life testimony with Pastor Marlette. There came a time after her father passed, and God blessed with the financial security. And so it's like, oh, I can put her in, like, just a very prestigious school in Cleveland. And you had to test to get in and whatever, you know, which never was a problem. I was money. So now we got the money. It's like, oh, we can do this. Now she get out of that, you know, public school. They busted and yada. So we're sitting in this very, very, very elite environment. And she's in the room taking the test. And I was waiting, you know, with the other parents. And I kept hearing, no. And so they had a little pamphlet, you know, to get you to know the school and whatever. And I kept hearing, no. And then it's like, what do you mean? And she said, go get her. She can't go here. I said, okay. And so I got up and I kind of tapped on the door because they're in the taking the test. And she's looking at me like, no, she isn't going to embarrass me until eternity. Make her go away. And I'm going with the little finger, come here, come here. And so I had to tell her, I said, you can't, you just, you know, oh, everybody around me had to sit, everybody that knew me had to sit, what are you doing? It's like, I don't know, God said no, so she can't go there. And so those are just things that, like you say, and it takes courage, and it takes a relationship to know that that's the voice of God. And no amount of money, okay, can bring about in her life what he has for her. And if that's not it, then you remove them from that. And so it is a very important power that he gives us so that we can truly learn and be edified. Okay, practice.
Amen. Number four, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Then number five was the spirit of prophecy, and we talked about how that was the simplest level of prophetic ministry. It's not a gift. It's not an office. It's an anointing that arising from Christ within the believers. It manifests when there is special prophetic anointings in an area, service, or place. Because it is spirit, it comes and goes. The person is not in possession of the spirit. God uses who you are, what you are to do, what he wants to do. So, you know, we are a prophetic house. So the spirit of prophecy comes, and our ministry often it comes through worship, it comes through praise, you know, it comes in the room through scripture. Individuals can then, as a result of that spirit of prophecy, can be able to prophesy. Doesn't mean that you have the gift, doesn't mean that you have the office. It is the spirit of prophecy. And it's okay. You know, I long for the day where when it comes in the room, people are open to say what thus says the Lord. You know, whether it's going to be a word of wisdom, it's going to be a word of knowledge. And you see it, I see it all the time. Like, people come up afterwards sometimes like, I believe this, or I saw this, you know. That was because the spirit of prophecy was in the room. Number six, we talked about the gift of prophecy. That is a supernatural manifestation, mind of God and Holy Spirit. It moves higher than the spirit of prophecy. The gift is subject to receptive of the gift. So oftentimes there are individuals who have the gift of prophecy. They have the gift of prophecy. They can prophesy in those three realms, words of wisdom, words of knowledge and words of futuristic words. And then there's the prophetic grace. The prophetic grace is one that's given. We did that within, you know, our church. We wasn't in the house, so we released the prophetic grace on individual, bestowed it upon the individual in our house in our absence. So we have that prophetic grace. Oftentimes, we can be ministered, and people would come along with us, and they would begin to prophesy or speak because of the prophetic grace. And then number eight, the last one, was the office of the prophet. And we kind of went through that first. We just talked about what that office looked like. And I'm glad we started there, because I want us to see, because we have the office of a prophet in our house, it gives us the power to be a prophetic people. And when we embrace that, as what Overseer was saying, which again I see it, she has that area of view. I hear the heart saying, "It is time." And that satellite view from our apostle, we are in this season. Let's maturate. That's definitely our apostle. Let's get some momentum. Let's get some manifestation. How do we mature? How do we grow up now so that we can embrace all that the prophetic has for us? We can embrace the redemption of communities, cities, and states. We can embrace the redemption of individuals moving to the gift, knowing God's heart for a season, and knowing what it is that he wants, and moving into it in a way that it is confident and it is out of relationship. And I believe that that is really the foundation of our church, is developing that intimate relationship with God. That is our apostolic heart, not being gifted or not being being relational. We want to be relational, and relational is what makes us relevant. Because we are in right relationship with God, because we have that intimate connection with him, we understand the relevance of his day, what he's doing right now. He said it the best in Isaiah, "I am doing a new thing right now. It's springing forth. How much of it do you know?" And that is our passion, to know what it is that God is doing, how we embrace that, how we walk in it, and how we live it out every day.
Amen.
Any revelations? Amen. For the prophet? Amen. I think one of the most, if you look in our book, there's a summary, really, of basically some of the things that the prophet was sharing. He goes into definitely more detail, so we have a more detailed understanding of it. But the author shares that now that the gift of prophecy is not reserved for a select group of believers. That depends on how you define the term. There are three distinct levels to the prophetic. The first level is, it is the simplest form. Prophesying is sharing God's word under the power of the Holy Ghost. And then the second level, when the Bible believers reveal the future of this world by declaring biblical prophecies that have already been spoken by the prophets in the Old and New Testament. So in other words, when we pray and declare the word of God, the promises of God, even the warnings of God, the truth of God, the into the world, earth realm in this season, then we are as believers revealing the heart and the move of God in that right now, so that people can be edified. They are prophesying on the second level. They are not initiating the prophetic insight, but echoing what has already been established. And then the third level is at the level of that any true Christian can be used this way. That's the grace of prophecy and the spirit of prophecy. But then there's only one distinct leaders that have been called to the office of a prophet. And so we need to understand the power we have in the level of prophecy that we are in encouraged to do. He says, again, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn. So the point purpose is to learn and then to be encouraged. Okay? So that's that exhortation. So one of the examples that the author used in the book was his wife's experience when she was 5 months pregnant, and the doctor gave her some very negative insight as to the child that she was carrying was going to have a hole in the spine and you know, have limited mental capacity and probably never walk and whatever. And so they were advised to have an abortion. And this has happened thousands of times. I know this. And a lot of people have done it. So that because of the doctor's report, and they feel it would just be so unfair to bring forth, you know, an infant that has, have a lot of these deformities. And yet, because they were faith-based, you know, they were offended. You know, life comes from God, and the life he gives is the life they will receive. And so just that one thing, I just was so reminded. I know it happened many times in my family. So I know that it happens in others. And on a level where people just don't have the relationship with Holy Spirit to trust the prophecy on their life. And so what she told him was that her husband, no, they would have the baby. And so daily she declared to her unborn child that God said, and these are his words, she declared, you're going to be perfect. Because God told her that this child would dance. And that seemed like such a negative, an opposite report from what the doctor said. So there again, whose report are we going to believe? So what she did was she declared the word of God. You said, and he reminded him, that you will perfect all those things that concern me. And she reminded the little one that you concern me, but I declare that you are perfect. And after that, she would sing the song, I Hope You Dance, because that was one of the things they said she wouldn't be able to move anything and stuff. And when she got in the car after they made the decision to keep the infant and to continue with the pregnancy, she turned the radio on, and the song that came forth was, I hope you dance. And so for her, that was acclamation that what she, the decision they had made was going to be one of hope. So that's a prophecy. And she believed it. She declared it. And her young one came forth. You know, not only does she walk, she does dance. And she does all the things that the world said that she wouldn't. But that's just how the enemy, if we don't discern the truth, how the enemy would like to eliminate our hope and our future. And our future is our children, our kids. So these are just some of the things that it says, you may all prophesy. Understand and ask God, what is it I should be prophesying? What is it I should be speaking and saying and declaring so that your prophecy comes to pass in the lives of those that are around? Okay, one of the things he says, you know, confess your faults one to another, that, you know, you will pray for one another and you'll be healed. So, then declare that. That's a prophetic word. If I do something, and when you declare that this is what I'm going to do, because God, this is your move. This is the way your move looks in our life and in this season. And so therefore, for your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, I will declare the prophetic word that you have written and that you have placed in our hearts and in our dreams, in our visions, and we will go forth in those things so that we may learn and we may be encouraged because as a third, then that is in the church will then flow into those that are around us. So the declaration that we are going to proclaim, the proclamation, is this. We proclaim that we have been begotten of the Word and born of the Spirit. We are new creatures by this dual internal influence. We can speak prophetically into lives of those we meet every day and into our own life. That we also believe the Holy Spirit will grant us flashes of insight concerning biblical truths, concerning people and situations, so that we might help and inspire others with the help and the inspiration we receive from God. We commission and empower to share the testimony of Jesus, because sharing the testimony of Jesus is prophesied, which is the spirit of prophecy. This is God's promise to me. I claim the supernatural impartation and expect its manifestation in my life. In Jesus' name, we proclaim this, we stand on this, and we believe this to be true. And so I encourage you to read Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. Read Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14 as a further insight from the lesson, so that you can, and ask Holy Spirit to give you the revelation of how this scripture applies to you today. And he will reveal these things. And so this is the posture that we've been encouraged to take before the throne of God, so that we might, as the prophet says, get the download from heaven. Okay? And as we get downloaded, you know what happens when they download some information, then things begin to are created and a greater environment is produced. So we thank everyone. Like I say, is there any more comments, questions, revelations, insights? Okay.
I'm thankful.
Well,
I'm thankful.
Thank you, too.
Amen. 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 Yes, I am so, and I am very hopeful. I am bold. I love this time. This is truly fellowship Christ. Hallelujah. And we do. We fellowship one with another, because that's why you can still not assemble yourselves together. You can share these truths and these revelations and power each other to go forth, encourage each other so that we don't get weary, but our strength is renewed and our faith is increased and our hope is made true. And so we pray that you will enjoy, embrace, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And next week we'll be in the Promise 17, Dreams from God. Now that's exciting. Dreams from God. All right. God bless.
All right. God. Have a great weekend. God. Thank you, Prophet.
Thank you.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Enjoy your time with you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. We will. I just put it in. I've got to keep my hand on my face. All right, then. So.